Turning your Bibles tonight to John chapter 14. Last week, we closed out John chapter 13 with the departure of Judas to go and make a deal with the rulers of the synagogue to betray Jesus. And now Jesus is starting to, he's in his last hours. This is the last night that he would be with them. And we looked at verses 21 through 38 on the subject of betrayal. And we saw here in verses 21 through 30, the last chance. Christ gave a troubling confession of the upcoming betrayal. It did trouble Christ in his humanity. It troubled the disciples because they were all concerned that it was them, each and every one of them, and they were all capable of doing that. There was a tremendous choice that was set before Judas. In his hands, he was honored by the sop as Jesus, the presider of the feast or the dinner. He gave him the sop, which was a position of honor. He's already washed his feet. Now he's given him this. And we looked at Deuteronomy, that before I set before you a blessing and a curse, which way are you going to go? And we know that as soon as this was revealed, that Satan entered into his heart. The terrible consequences for Judas was personal. He was lost. And Christ gave him every opportunity to come to saving knowledge of you. Because he did God's will, a lot of people think he's in heaven. He's not. He's not. He will find out later on that he tried to pay it back, but he committed suicide from this. He is parting from God. What an awful, awful thought to be cut off from God's grace. To be cut off from God's love. To be cut off from God's mercy. But it's not God that does it. We do it. And these people do it. And he will be perishing. Basically, Matthew 6:23 says, woe unto him who betrays. Then Christ gives, in verses 31 through 35, the love commandment. Basically, the reason, the cross is now before him. The shadow of the cross is in that upper room. The recipients now are the children of God because Judas has been removed. He's now talking to the 11. The requirement is to love Christ as Christ loves us. We talked about agapeo love. It's a self-sacrificing love. The result will be comprehended. By this, all men shall know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love for one another. And we talked about this last Sunday night. And then there's a conversation that continues into chapter 14. Peter starts off this conversation. He asks a quick inquiry. Where are you going? What's happening here? They're all concerned. They don't understand. And Christ is telling them what's going to happen. And Peter says, I'm going to die for you. No, that's not God's purpose for Peter right now. God's purpose for Peter is to follow him and preach the word after Christ has ascended. And it's an indictment that Peter will remember this conversation when he denies Christ the third time and the rooster crows. So tonight we're going to be looking at chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Very familiar passage, but the title of the message tonight is The Comfort of Christ. And the comfort of Christ is found through faith in him. If you don't believe Christ will give you comfort, you won't get it. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, he won't do this for you. You'll be living under his mercy. So we'll start off with John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7, and then we'll break this passage down, and then we'll look at the other seven verses afterwards. Very familiar passage. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If he had known me, he should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Time after time after time, they have seen the miraculous work and power of God work through Christ. And the time after time after time has come up to an issue of no faith. Peter sinking in the water, them not being able to cast out the demon and the demon-possessed boy. So it's this issue of faith. But in verses 1 through 7, we see solace or comfort for the scared. We see comfort for the scared or solace for the scared. You know, sometimes when fear grips us, it all looks dark. There is no hope. We get depressed and discouraged. But God's got you. But God's got you. So in verse 1, we see the promise of help. Go back to this passage. It says, let not your heart be troubled. The word for trouble means extreme dread or fear. This conversation is continuing from chapter 13, where Peter's already been told, you're going to deny me three times. And so he says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. It's easy to believe when things are going well. It's easy to believe when everything is going smoothly. But here is a catastrophic thing coming in the disciples' lives. In the next 48 hours, it's going to be horrible. The next 96 hours, it's going to be even worse. They're going to see Christ crucified. They're going to be hiding for their lives. And Christ says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. It's an issue of faith. It's an issue of faith. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13, to kind of flesh this out a little bit. God says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. But you have to have a relationship with Christ. Psalm chapter 121, verses 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. When we are in trouble, who has to do the looking? We do. God already knows. He already knows our heart. He just wants us to call out to him and to cast our burden on him, cast our care on him. He says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. If we're talking about God who made everything, do you think he can solve our problems? Yes. Do you think he can calm our troubled heart? Yes. Do you think he can cast out all of our fear? Yes. Because it says, there is no fear in love, because perfect love casteth out fear, because torment has no love. So see, in verse 1, we see the promise of help. He says, you believe in God, just believe also in me. Now, we like to be able to look ahead, to be able to see through something. So Christ gives them something to look forward to, something beyond the present trouble, something beyond what they're going to even see in the near future. And it's the promise of a house. You know, it's always nice to have some place to go to. And when you have a goal or you have some place to go to, that gives you encouragement even in stress, because you know there's something out there for you. And he says, in my Father's house are what? Many mansions. Many mansions. And here's the point. There's a lot of people who don't believe that. But Christ goes on in this verse and he says this. He says, if it weren't so, if this wasn't the truth, I would have told you, because I tell you the truth. So you just need to trust me. There's a promise of something in the future beyond all this. But if what happened, what's going to happen in the next couple of days doesn't happen, this won't work. This won't work. So it's a promise of a house. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. Now, the church is the bride of Christ. And we know the Jewish custom. When someone was engaged, the husband-to-be would go and prepare a place for his new family to reside. Once they got that done, he would come for his bride. Boy, we need that today, don't we? People get married, they don't have the resources to survive. And then we talked about this Sunday morning in the kids' corner, or the other Sunday in the kids' corner, when the bridegroom comes, there's a cry in the middle of the night. And we're going to hear the trumpet, and Christ is coming back for us. And so this is a promise of a house. He's preparing a place for us for eternity. Far, far beyond all the problems that we're in. Far, far beyond all the dread and the fear that they are in right now. So there's a promise of help. There's a promise of a house. But you know, the issue is that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a what? Building of who? God. And you know, every time I go into my house, I find something wrong with it. It's not square. It's not plumb. It's not level. But in heaven, it's all going to be right. It's going to be right. We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So there's this promise of a house. If you know that there's something on the other side of this that helps your faith to get through it now. Now, a house without inhabitants is not a home. And there's a promise of a home in verse 3. It says this, and I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We have, church, a wedding feast to look forward to. We have a be with ever with God to look forward to, because we're the promised bride of Christ, and he still wants to present us before God the Father as a bride without spot or wrinkle. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. And here really is the first indication of the rapture. This is the first indication of the rapture right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And what? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So there's something to get you through the dread that you're in right now. Your belief in God. There's something that will get you through the dread that you're in right now. The promise of something on the other side. Not made by you, made by God. There's something that will get you through the dread that you're going through right now. The promise of being part of God's family. And joint heirs with Christ. And we are the children of God. So there's a promise of a home. And all those things give a presence of hope. Now, in verse 4, Christ says something, but they don't get it. There's a lot of things said in the Bible that we say we know, but when it really comes down to implementing it, we may not know it as well as we do. Remember, this is going to be a catastrophic time for the disciples. He says, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Well, that's what Christ has been talking about for the last year. Of all these things here. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16 says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting, what? Consolation, which is comfort, and good hope through grace. So our belief gets us through the dread. The prospect of something on the other side will give you the ability to go through it. The prospect that there's other things waiting for you, a family waiting for you on the other side, will help you. And that should be consolation, knowing all those things, if you know them, that'll allow you to get through this stuff. That's where we are now in verse 4. However, there's a problem of hesitation in verse 5. There's doubt. Thomas has doubt. Philip has doubt. Peter's already said so. So these three are talking, and Christ is explaining this to them. And he says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Now, wait a second. This is the same thing that the crowds were saying. What, will he go and kill himself? What do you mean that where you're going, you cannot come? What do you mean? They're saying the same thing. Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? You know, there's a lot of Christians today in dread and fear because they say, just like the world, and there's no faith. And there's no faith. And so Thomas has a problem. It's just not him. It's all of them. They all have this problem. And you know something? We're not immune to it either. So the issue is we can't act like the world, say the same things of the world, and expect God to get us through the trouble. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 7 holds the answer. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, Thomas is doing the right thing. He's asking God. There's a conversation going on here. That giveth to all men liberty, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask him what? Faith. You got to act different than the world. You got to believe different than the world. You got to believe that God is God. Christ is God. You got to believe there's a home over there. There's a house over there. You got to believe what Christ says as truth. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of a sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You know, when we pray, we need to pray believing that God will do it. We'll get to that in a minute. So there's this problem of hesitation. There's this problem of doubt. We all have that. We all have that. But you know something? What we really need in the world today is just the honest truth. And Christ in verses 6 and 7 provides the honest truth. He says, look, if you haven't figured this out yet, I'm going to tell you very clearly, I am the way. That's the answer to the question, how can we know the way? Christ says, I am the way. Okay? Moses said, how do I tell the Israelites, the Hebrews, that you sent me? You tell them that I am sent you. I am the way. I am the what? The truth. Okay? How can we know the way? You know the truth. And the life. The life beyond this, eternal life. Where are you going to inhabit your home? No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, to you and me, that seems pretty easy to understand. But what happens when we're in trouble and we have a problem? And someone comes and gives us encouragement, And we know it's true, but we don't believe it. That's where the disciples are. Okay? That's where we are a lot of times. It says, if you had known me, oh. And so now Christ is kind of getting right into where it is. If you had known me, you should have known the Father. They're asking the same questions as the crowd. They said, where do you come from? Who are you? And Christ keeps on. He told them in the temple. He told them on the mountain. He told them everything. He said, I come from above. People wanted to stone him. And they're saying that if he had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Now, that just solves everything, right? No problem. Go ahead. Let's just go ahead. Just everything's fine. Nah. It doesn't work that way. We need to understand this. In John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my what? Word. Then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. Free from the dread. Free from let not your heart be troubled. It's the truth that there's a house out there. It's the truth that there's a home out there. It's the truth that there's a hope out there. It's the truth that will overcome your doubt. And it's the honest truth. And it's the honest truth. So in verses 1 through 7, we see solace for the scared, and the disciples are scared. Verses 8 through 11, we see satisfaction for the searching. Satisfaction for the searching. It involves more than just seeing. It's more than sight. Now Philip gets involved. Now Philip has been a kind of a quiet disciple. You know, we see him bringing Nathanael to Christ. We see him in previous chapter seeing bringing the Greeks to Christ. And so Philip gets involved, and he says in verse 8, he says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and that's good enough for us. It sufficeth us. That would be good enough. That'll take care of everything. If you just show us. Well, wait a second. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And immediately Philip chimes in and says, no, that's not good enough. We want concrete evidence. We want concrete evidence. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says this, we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11, 1 says this, for while faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. Christ has told the Pharisees, Abraham was glad to see my day. Okay, before Abraham was, I am. He's used all those things. John writes in this, in the first chapter, he says, and we have beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But see, there's a lot of learning going on here. Okay, because human nature says, I want something I can hold on to. If you can hold on to it, that's not faith. You might get it because of your faith later on, but there has to be a step of faith. There has to be something beyond you for this. So they're going to be satisfied, but it's not going to be for some time, on the order of days. Satisfaction for the searching is more than sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. It's more than just knowledge. It's being able to apply what you've learned in your heart. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. They're not doing that. Verse 9, it says, Jesus saith unto him, can you start to detect a little bit of frustration with Jesus? Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? Really? Put it in our lives. We see God work in our lives. We have a relationship with him. A problem comes up. We go back to the old way of trying to solve it ourselves. And then eventually we'll come to the point that we say, well, I'll try God now. Try God first. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And Philip, why on earth are you asking me to show you the Father? Really? Haven't you seen this last 3 years? Haven't you heard the messages I've been preaching to the crowd and to you all? I got you off by themselves. I told you all these parables. Don't you understand these things? He has more than knowledge. There's all sorts of people that have knowledge of God, but it's not going to help. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that, what? Doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. And I'll be honest right now, the disciples are not doing his will. They're not believing. He's already said, your heart's troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. I'm giving you all these promises here. Okay? Then you say, well, show me the Father. Well, wait a second. I am the Father. He's already said, I and my Father are one. He says, if you see me, you've seen the Father. It's more than sight. It's more than knowledge. It must be by faith. This whole section here is over faith because they're going to need faith to endure what's happening to them and what will happen to Christ. It's a faith that conquers your doubt. In verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, in the Father of me? These are questions. Oh, could you imagine being in the room with them and hearing Christ say this? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, which talks about his crucifixion. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And if you go up a couple of things, it says, he that is of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is an issue of faith. And they're having a hard time. It's the faith that'll get you through this black time in their lives. So satisfaction for the searching must be by faith. And that applies to us too. To have life abundantly, joy unspeakable, peace that passes understanding, and everything else, you have to have faith in Christ. And if you don't have that, you don't have them. It doesn't happen. It's the faith that will conquer doubt. It's the faith that will confirm your decision. And in verse 11, he says, believe me that I am in the Father. Christ is really saying here, I've done all that I can do. It's now your turn to do something. It's your turn to believe. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. And if you just can't accept my words, or else believe me for the what? The very works' sake. Let's see. Raise the dead. Oh, just recently, Lazarus. Jairus' daughter, the widow's son from Nain. Cast out demons. Demons go in the pigs, they all get drowned. Cure a man blind from birth. Cure a man crippled from birth. Only things that God. Can't you understand? Why are you just like the world, thinking like the world? See, just previous to this, they've had this discussion. Matthew 16, verses 15 through 17. He says, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now, Peter's in the crowd. This is a four-way conversation. There's Christ, there's Peter, there's Philip, there's Thomas. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, wait a second. They were all in the crowd. How on earth can they come back and say, I don't know, show us the Father? What do you mean? See, they wanted Christ to stay with them forever. That's what they wanted. They didn't want to go through this dark time. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I don't understand. Well, I do understand. Because I have a classroom full of kids that just forget things from one day to another. And you, we know as Christians, we just forget things one day from another. Folks, if he's your Savior yesterday, he's your Savior today. He'll be your Savior tomorrow. If he's your Lord yesterday, he'll be your Lord today. He'll be your Lord tomorrow. He'll be your Lord next week. He'll be your Lord in that house. He'll be that Lord, your Lord in that home. He'll be the Lord all the time. So it's got to be by faith. So there is solace for the scared, the satisfaction for the searching. And in verses 12 through 14, mistyped it, we see success for the saved. There's going to be success for the saved in action. In verse 12 it says this, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, this is, what is a common word here in all these? Believe me, believe me, believe me, believe me, believe me. Okay? He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And the rest of this chapter talks about the delivery of the Holy Spirit. The coming of the Holy Spirit. He says, if you believe me, not only are you going to get through this time, but on the other side, you have that house coming, you got that home coming, you got all that other things coming to you, but on the way, you're going to do some great things for me. If you believe. Remember, why couldn't they cast out the demon and the demon-possessed boy? Because of your unbelief. John doesn't record this, but the other Gospels record this. They've been walking in and out of between Bethany and Jerusalem over the last couple of days. Remember the fig tree? The fig tree? Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, which was withered up by the roots, but also if ye shall say to this mountain, and you know that doesn't have to be a physical mountain, it could be a spiritual mountain too. It could be an emotional mountain. It could be whatever's bugging you, whatever's bothering you, whatever's troubling you, whatever you have fear about, whatever you have dread about. He says, But you say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it shall, and be thou cast in the sea, it shall be done. Folks, we should live in victory. We have trouble, but we'll get through it because of all the stuff that Christ is telling his disciples in the room right now. There's success for the saved in action. There's success for the saved in asking. In verse 13, it says, whatsoever ye ask, ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Now, I'll tell you, it's asking according to God's word. It's asking according to God's will. It's asking in the spirit. It's not some rubber stamp that you put on the end of your prayer. Make it come to pass, Jesus, in Jesus' name, amen. It's going to happen. It means that you have faith to believe that it's going to happen. And your mind, we have the mind of Christ, and our mind and our spirit goes with his spirit, that we're the children of God, we know what's going to happen. He says, whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. God's not going to do anything for you that's not going to bring glory to him. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 says, ye lust and ye have not. You kill and desire to have, and you cannot attain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask it amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. So here's the caveat. If you ask in faith, believing, your mind will be the same as Christ, God's mind, and you're going to get that because that's God's will. It brings glory to God. But if you're outside of that realm, so this has to be taken in context. So, success for the saved in action, success for the saved in asking, success for the saved in assurance. In verse 14, he says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But the anything that you're going to ask should align with him. Should align with him. Next chapter, Christ says this. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you, because you'll be doing what God wants you to do. Okay? I don't know what God wants to do in the future. Let him live in your life now. Let him live in your life now. That'll take care of the future. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added to you. Take no thought for tomorrow, for the tomorrow will take thought of itself. Sufficient to the day is the what? The evil thereof. It's a daily walk. The issue is, do you have the comfort of Christ tonight? If you don't have a relationship with Christ, if he's not your Savior, he cannot comfort you. You have the fear and dread of hell in your future. And you need a relationship with Jesus Christ tonight. You need to have him forgive your sins and save you because of what he did on the cross and his resurrection. If we know Christ, then we have victory. And we should not have this dread and fear and be scared all the time and be defeated. The disciples did it. It's human nature. But we need to seek the comfort of Christ. And we need to live as if we are saved. And if we actually do believe and actually trust Christ. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts. Father, if someone here does not know you as Savior or listening on the internet tonight, Lord, I pray that this would be the night of their salvation. Father, for us, Lord, here, help us, Lord, to have success in our salvation, Lord, because we have faith in you. Increase our faith as the disciples asked to do. But help us, Lord, to believe that to be possible, Lord, in our lives and not just a bunch of words. Lord, search our hearts. Change us with your truth. Have your Holy Spirit have full reign. We ask these things in Jesus' name, believing that you'll bring it to pass. Amen.
Thank you.